welcome back to Mental Health Matters, and we're excited to have you today. Today's issue is we're going to talk about a couple's communication exercise. But this is not just for couples. This is for you communicating with anyone else, self and other. So you, how do you communicate with another person? You are listening to Mental Health Matters on KRUU 100.1 on your FM dial. And we're really glad you're here with us today. Today's, you could always check us out. Some of the shows are archived on KRUU. Some are archived on Arden Counseling Center's YouTube channel. And you could also email me, scott@ardentcenter.com. Ardent is ArdentCenter.com. So scott@ardentcenter.com. If you've got any questions, thoughts, ideas. With us today is my three wonderful, powerful interns. Danielle, say hi.
Hello. I'm Danielle McWilliams. I'm a graduate intern with Scott, and I'm very excited to be here today.
Hi, I'm Kyle, and I'm an undergraduate intern with Scott, and I'm happy to be here today.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Adler. I am an undergraduate intern with Scott, and I'm happy to be here today.
Are you sure? I don't think you're really happy, Elizabeth.
No. Scott paid us to say that.
Yeah, all right. Okay.
Just kidding. We don't get money.
All right. So we're going to talk about, we're going to do a couple's communication exercise today. And we're going to take as an example Kyle and Elizabeth, who are in a relationship, and we're going to use them to talk about an issue. But I want you to translate this. This is the same kind of work you could do with your boss, or if you're in sales to another to somebody you're trying to sell, or to anybody else. And it's a reflective exercise. Kyle's heard this one. Elizabeth has not heard this exercise. Danielle, I don't know if you've heard this exercise or not. So anyways, let's give it a shot.
It's just so interesting that I first encountered Scott using this exercise with an individual trying to brainstorm their future. And Scott saying, oh, yeah, there's this exercise that I've already showed you, and it's going to, you know, help you brainstorm something with your relationship. And so it's just a very diverse exercise that you can use in many different facets.
So let's talk about how we did it with this one individual. Kyle, why don't you explain? How did you see we did that?
So this individual was thinking whether or not she wanted to start a business. And so we got her thinking, and so she was thinking from a small scale of what that could be like. And then we got her thinking about a larger picture. And then we extended that and made it a little more concrete.
Okay. All right.
I just kind of want to make the point, too, like with these communication exercises, they're not like the tell-all and all solution to every problem.
No, of course not.
This is just, you know, it's just a tool to use. And again, it can be used with couples. It can be used with like a parent, a boss, anybody. And it's just a way to kind of reflect and get another person's point of view. So that way communication is just more positive.
Great. Excellent. So this is an exercise I made up. And again, these are not great or bad or good or, you know, this is just one exercise. And with everything that we keep talking about, it's what works for you. So we're just giving you ideas here, thoughts to get you going. You're the one who creates what works for you. Okay. So Elizabeth, so let's start with you. And I want you, so, I want you to say the first, so this is, there's this exercise is in three parts. The first part is you're going to say an issue. Kyle is then going to ask if you're done, then respond to what he thought you heard. And then you're going to tell him if he got it or if he didn't get it. So tell him, pick some issue.
So I have a tendency to get sometimes very emotionally overwhelmed. And, you know, I can get very sad or very anxious, particularly in the evenings. And I also often get insecure. And most of the time, Kyle is, should I address him as you or should I do it in the third person?
It doesn't matter. But okay. So the thing that you're starting to do already, which makes all communications difficult with people, especially when you're emotional. Again, think of, we're talking about this in ideal circumstances, but the reality is, when you're having communication difficulties, it's under stress. Or when you're trying to sell somebody something, or you're talking to your boss or somebody else, you're under stress. Try and keep it simple. One issue, one time. So, for example, if I say, Kyle, I think you're mean, and then Kyle would say, are you done? And then he'd say, here's what I hear you say. What I hear you saying is you think that I'm mean. And then the second part is Kyle's then going to extend that argument, and he's going to say, yeah, not only am I mean, I look for little ants to crush as I walk down the street because I'm such a mean guy. And then you would say, then you'd turn Elizabeth to Kyle and say, are you done? And he'd say, yes. And so, Kyle, here's what I heard you say. If you were in my head, you would think that I'm even mean because I crush little ants or something.
So I think to kind of sum all
yes,
of that
please,
up.
Yes, please.
So Scott's kind of getting into like the steps of the communication process, but I think the main focus is like trying to just pick one topic and focusing
one
on
thing
that one,
at one
thing.
Time.
So sometimes when I get insecure, Kyle sort of flips a switch and becomes very distant and even very angry, and that can feel very scary for me.
Okay, got it. So Kyle, ask if she's done.
Elizabeth, are you done?
Yes, Kyle, I am.
Okay. And Kyle, now say, here's what I heard you say.
Here's what I heard you said. Sometimes when you feel insecure, you notice that I flip a switch and turn off, and that can be very scary for you.
Did I get it?
Did I get it?
Yes.
Okay. Now, Kyle, I want you to say, if I was in your head... And I was looking out your eyeballs. So essentially, if I was in your head, Elizabeth, I would even think, and you'd extend that argument.
Mm. If I was in your head, Elizabeth, looking out your eyeballs, I'm like a little ant in your brain. I would also think that I might be getting so mad at you that I am ready to pick up the roof and throw it. Or is it supposed to be less, more serious?
Yeah, make it serious if you want, or whatever you want.
That I'm about to walk out the door, or?
Yeah, okay, that if I was in your head, Elizabeth, if I was in your head, if I were you, I would think that you're afraid that I'm actually going to even walk out the door, because I'm so distant. And now you say, Elizabeth, you're not here to answer it, you're just here to say, are you done, Kyle?
Are you done, Kyle?
I'm done, Elizabeth.
Okay. And Elizabeth, you say, in essence, what I heard you say was?
So what I heard you say was that if you were me, going by that logic, you'd be scared that...
That you'd be scared.
Or I would be scared that you would get so frustrated with me that you would walk out the door. Is that right?
Ask him.
No, yes, that's right.
Okay, great. Excellent. So now that's the second stage. And now the third stage is, Kyle, you now turn back to Elizabeth and you say, now from my perspective, here's what I think.
Now from my perspective, I think that...
So you're going to say one issue again that she could address regarding her point.
Is an additional? It would be one that she would address.
No, from your perspective.
From my perspective.
Your perspective only.
Okay. So from my perspective, I also get scared. I see you suddenly being insecure and flipping a switch. And because I see that a flip has been switched, I get scared and I flip a switch and I sort of distance myself because I don't know what's about to happen.
Okay, good. So Elizabeth, say, are you done?
Are you done?
I'm done.
So Kyle, here's what I heard you say.
So Kyle, I heard you saying that sometimes when I get really insecure, it feels to you like I have sort of removed myself from that I've switched over into a different mode of being, and you feel scared because you don't know what's coming next, and it makes you feel that you need to disengage too.
Did I get it?
Yes, you got it.
Great. Fantastic. So again, one issue, now you feel like you've both been hurt. Now what you could do is you could take it to another round of the same issue, because now it's essentially Kyle's turn. And Kyle, now you could go, I want to keep going with this discussion, or I want to bring up other things that it could be about whatever. Mm. You know, so yeah, I really want to talk about, you know, this fear reaction that we're both getting stuck in and how to get out of it. Or, you know, I really want to talk about how I really want more fish in my life. So whatever you want to come up with.
Well, I think a good way to respond to this fear is by having more fish in my life. No, I want to keep talking on this issue.
Okay, great. So you're going to do another round. So now you're starting, and then Elizabeth will now extend your argument in the second round.
I have a question.
Yes.
I want to back it up a little bit. So Kyle had given his perspective as to, okay, he gave his thoughts on it. And then Elizabeth came back and said, this is what I hear you saying. Did I get that correctly?
Right.
Kyle said, yes.
Yeah.
At that point, would Elizabeth have an opportunity to then come in and say, now, if I were in your head.
Well, that's what she's going to do next.
Okay.
But let's say, you know, Elizabeth started as she started, and she starts going into her fear reaction, and then she starts going into, you know, and then when, because I get this, I feel like you're going to walk out, and then I feel like that also I'm afraid of the color blue, and that I then like rainbows, and I don't care. And she starts going into five other things. And the problem is, most of us, when we're stressed, we start going on and on and on, and we're not hearing the other person. We're stuck in our own head. So part of this exercise is, one, feeling like we're heard. So, I'm actually the person. I got that the person actually heard me. And I really know that they heard me because they went into my head and they came up with this argument. Or maybe Kyle came up with something utterly ridiculous that, you know, Elizabeth, if I was in your head, I would think that you're going to pull out a gun and shoot me. And then Kyle would go, wow, that's really what, or Elizabeth would then go, wow, that's really what you would think, you know? So it gives us the opportunity to get how we're really thinking and how we're being perceived by others, but also how we're being heard in this life. So it's not just how we're hearing others, but how we're hearing ourselves. Mm. So it gives us an opportunity for both. So it's a really simple reflective exercise. Okay. So go on. So now that I gave you a couple moments to think about it, you are listening to KRUU 100.1 on your FM dial.
So we're just doing an exercise and for relationships, and I'm doing it with my girlfriend Elizabeth. My name's Kyle.
And we're doing on communication exercise today on KRUU 100.1, and we're doing, this is Mental Health Matters, and we're talking about three-part exercise. So Kyle, let's do the second round, and let's do it again, and let's do it a different way. So it's going to start with you.
Okay. So one issue is when I get home and I see that Elizabeth is sort of flips a switch and she's all of a sudden really insecure and her eyes are going back and forth. And
you're perceiving.
I'm perceiving that.
Because there is no reality.
Right. That she's being insecure. And then I don't know what's about to happen, and so then I flip a switch and I sort of disengage a little bit and put up a barrier.
Okay. So, Elizabeth, ask him if he's done.
Are you done?
Yes.
So,
what I heard you say
is that sometimes when you perceive signs of insecurity in me, it's very frightening to you because you don't know what's going to happen next, and you feel that you need to shut off and keep disengage from me and keep an emotional distance, sometimes a physical distance from me.
Yes.
Okay.
So if I were in your head,
I would extend that thought to think.
I would extend that thought to think. Is this the way that it's going to be for the rest of our lives?
Whatever you're thinking, he might be thinking. He might think, like, if I was in Kyle's head, I would think, oh my God, is this the way, as you're saying, is this going to be the rest of my life? Are we going to actually go forward in this relationship, get married, and I'm not going to be stuck with this the rest of my life?
Right.
Is that a full way to phrase
that's what you're saying? Nice. Very, very. Yeah, that's a good way to say it.
Okay. And so, Kyle?
Are you done?
Yes.
So what I heard you say was that if you were in my head, you would think that that I'd be scared that this would be the rest of my life, where you'd be,
whatever.
Okay.
Yep, that's right.
Okay. Good. So now you're on stage three, right? So stage three, Elizabeth, now you get to respond as you would want to respond. So back to me, here's what I would think.
Back to me, I would just want to assure you that I'm doing everything that I can to work on this, and basically ask you to be somewhat patient with me as I'm figuring things out, and also ask you to, you know, when you do need to disengage, to do so in a way that, you know, is sort of compassionate rather than explosive.
Are you done?
Yes.
So what I heard you say was, you can understand that I could disengage, but that you're working on it, and to be more patient, and to, if I do need to disengage, do so in a way that is more compassionate rather than explosive.
Yep, that's right.
So did he get the gist of what you were saying?
Yes.
And again, the object is not to be a parrot back to the other person, but just to kind of go, here's what I heard you say.
Right.
Okay.
So instead of saying explosive, I could have said abrupt, like abruptly disengaging.
Yeah, exactly. And you could reframe it in that kind of more positive way. Exactly.
And I liked that you also heard what I just said. You heard me saying that I totally understood where you were coming from, and that I felt like I understood why you needed to disengage in times like that. Because I don't think I said that outright, but I was definitely thinking it and feeling it.
So the fact that he heard that in the implication, how did that feel to you?
That was very, made me feel very understood, and it was. And it was a good feeling.
And so the fact that he can hear you, what does that do for you?
It makes me feel safe, makes me feel, you know, that the relationship is healthy, and that Kyle is a very perceptive person who also truly cares about what I think, and, you know, cares enough to really pay attention when I'm talking to not only what I'm saying, but also what's implied.
Powerful.
Another thing is, you know, I find myself sort of feeling uncomfortable, but needing to just take like a deep breath, because obviously it's like a bigger issue that has come up, and it's not as simple as just, you know, what's in this conversation. It's much more like emotional and such than that.
Exactly. And so part of this is settling down the overthinking and the over emotion and just simplifying things. Again, this is not to solve the problem. This is more an exercise to learn, where am I at? Where's the other person at? I'm hurt. I'm safe enough to take the next stage. And then maybe you sit there and say, let's stop the exercise and let's get back to just having a conversation back and forth now that we're on the same page. And then, oh, we're getting lost again. Let's get back to that.
One thing, too, just like from an outsider and kind of sitting and listening and watching the exercise, what I do like is, and I think it just brings the point totally, when we're under stress and there's multiple things going on, when you're able to just kind of focus on that one situation, like you guys did, it did help the conversation move forward. So while we're not looking for like a solution right now in this time, it is starting to make its way towards, okay, here's the identified problem. Here's what we need to work on. Let's move forward with it. It doesn't keep the conversation like circling. Like it went from here's the identified problem, I feel insecure. Then it turned into when I feel insecure, Kyle responds this way. When Kyle responds this way, it causes me to respond this way. And then it just keeps it moving forward so that it can get to that point of how do we work on this so that it
right,
gets better.
And you can almost see that like, oh, okay, so Elizabeth's needing to, she's working on this. And so if I was Kyle, I might say, hey, okay, if I stop reacting to you and you stop feeling like I'm pulling out and abandoning you and you could calm down, your fight or flight could chill out enough, then, and you could get it, your stuff's about you, it's not about me. Because that's often the problem in these communication things. We often think it's about the other. When it's not really about the other, it's about ourselves. We're just getting lost in what the other is doing or not doing. Mm-hmm. Then it becomes easy for Kyle to say, oh, okay, if I'm not the problem here and you're the issue, so to speak, what else can we talk about? Let's brainstorm what else we can do to support the kind of growth that you're wanting to create. Because we're all going through stuff. And yes, you're going through something that listeners might think is rather scary. But you know what? Every single one of us has what's scary to us. And it's not what's scary to somebody else. That's what we learn is what's scary to ourselves that we don't have to get trapped in.
Well, and I think one of the key components with this exercise that a lot of other communication exercises don't really look at is you are actually putting yourself in the head of the other person. So like just by saying, if I were you, I would feel like, oh my gosh, is this what I'm stuck with the rest of my life? And it was actually interesting because as you said that, Elizabeth, Kyle, your face was kind of like, oh my gosh, is that like the vibe that I give off? Is that like I don't ever want to make you feel that, you know what I mean? Right. So it points out in such a good way, like this is if I were you, what I would be thinking. And then it just helps kind of make that progression. So
excellent. So, do you want to do a third round, or do you want to do something else? What would you guys like to do?
Is there a final part to this?
The final part, I think, is really looking at what's the next stage. So, when you're kind of done going around and around, and you could go multiple times, and I like this exercise. Mm-hmm. I used to do it where I would have the person talk for 1 minute, and then it was like 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. And then it's like the other person couldn't remember half of what the other person was saying. So it's like, okay, one person just talks alone for 30 seconds. And if the other person doesn't want to say something more, they're done. Then they just sit there in silence. And that was useful. But I think people get lost. Mm-hmm. You know, our memories don't last. Our working memories can only hold, you know, what is it, 5 to 7 to 9?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about that. Sorry to geek out on everyone. Okay. So, but once you're done going through this, then you sit there and say, okay, are we at a stopping point? And then let's go, what do we want to work on? How do we want to get to the next stage? So do you guys want to go another round, or do you both feel like, hey, this is a good stopping point?
What do you want?
Well, honestly, I feel pretty anxious right now just from having done that. Like, that brought up a lot of emotion for me.
Good.
Maybe it's good. So I'm wondering what to do with that anxiety, whether
Excellent.
It's better to move on from that or whether it's better to move on from the conversation and wait till I feel less anxious, or whether it's better to continue with it but just be aware of the anxiety.
Or to sit there and say, this is a great point, to sit there and say, hey, I'm feeling anxious. This is a real tender subject for me. What can I now do about what I'm experiencing? instead of getting lost in the emotions, like the emotions, just because I feel something doesn't mean anything, right? We get lost in our heads like, well, I feel like jumping off a bridge, so I guess I got to jump off a bridge. Oh, I feel like I hate the person. Well, I guess I got to go with that. Oh, I feel like, you know, I'm turned on by somebody, so I guess I got to jump somebody's bones. It's like, really? You know, are we lost that we don't have any control over what we think or feel? And so you legitimately feel some anxiety. Great. So then it would defer to you to sit there and say, what would be most useful for you? To sit there and say, hey, I think I'm ready to have a conversation with Kyle alone, or I'd like to continue this exercise, or hey, I'd like some suggestions, or whatever it would be.
I'd like some suggestions, if that's appropriate to ask for in this context.
Well, okay. So then if we were going to do that in our last 2 minutes on the air, right, we would say, what kind of suggestions are you looking for? So we'd make you be a bit more concrete.
So suggestions about what, I don't know, about what to do in the next few minutes.
Or to do with your anxiety. Right. So the question is, I feel I'm experiencing anxiety. What can I do about my anxiety? Instead of the communication, it stops being about the communication and starts being, what do I need to do? I need to take care of myself.
And then it becomes an issue of anxiety instead of communication. And I think that's where we have to leave off, because anxiety is a whole big topic in itself.
Absolutely.
Tune in next week.
Absolutely. So right now, let's just talk about, all right, so I feel anxious. So what do I do about anxiety? Then it becomes a pretty easy thing. This is no longer about Kyle. This is no longer about anything. I just feel emotions stirred up.
Absolutely. And I think kind of like what Scott is asking then is, okay, so you take this anxiety and what do you want to do with it? Do you sit here and have like a full-blown panic attack and know that that'll help? Do you have to get up and go for a walk? Do we need to just, you know, like... And, you know, it's kind of like...
Take a deep breath and just come back to being in my body and go, okay, I'm not in denial. We are never in denial about what we're experiencing. We just come back to, we're the ones choosing what to do about what we're now experiencing.
Absolutely.
So, this is our last and final minute. So, Elizabeth, what else would you like to say or ask in your last 1 minute?
I honestly don't know right now. I'm sorry.
Okay, great. So let's talk about what, if somebody was experiencing anxiety, what would you tell them to do? You tell them to focus on the breathing. You'd focus on connecting to your body. Kyle, what would you say?
What about hugs? Like
hugs
from
are
a group?
Really good idea. And to know, why is a hug important?
Well, I think, I don't know if this is scientific, but if you hug someone for like 10 seconds, it releases oxytocin, which is a bond.
Absolutely.
Chemical and
so
love hormones.
In the next 30 seconds when we all hang up, we're going to all hug Elizabeth. Well, at least Kyle's going to hug Elizabeth, and we'll watch and support from the sideline. But
cheer.
Hey, we'll cheer. But it's really going that you're not alone. And the whole point of the communication was connection. And so the vulnerability created deeper connection. So you take that anxiety and you go, this leads me to deeper connection. How wonderful is that? I'm doing something. And the fact that you're doing something with that anxiety and realize that there's a larger purpose to it helps you feel better in control over your life and what you could then create from your life. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Well, thank you, everyone. Tune in next week for how we deal with anxiety and other issues.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.